Good morning to you. I wish I could see you. I miss seeing you. Will you turn to Matthew 7? Matthew 7, the generous God and the golden rule. The generous God and the golden rule. Here's an important question. What do you really want? What are you after? Jesus said this in Matthew 6. The pagans seek after those things, but your Father in heaven knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and your Father will take care of those other things. Is the kingdom of God and his righteousness the first priority in your life? Never mind how well you think you're doing. That is not important right now. Never mind if you think it's hopeless. That's not important right now. If you could succeed at one thing in your life, would it be the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is that the place you would like to succeed? Is that your first choice? We know what the right answer is supposed to be, but actually that's not important either. No pretending here. No false holy talk. If you could succeed at one thing, would the kingdom of God and his righteousness be your first choice of success? If it is, you're in luck. Except we're not supposed to talk about luck. The generous God, three promises and three assurances in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So Jesus is getting toward the end of the sermon. He's already starting to wrap this all up. And we need to feel him urging us. Ask people. Seek. Knock. Do it. Ask. Seek. Knock. Why are you not asking and seeking? Why are you not knocking? Ask. And seek and knock. Why? You ask me why? Because with your Father it works. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Make sure you ask and seek and knock. So Jesus has urged us, and then he promised us that we would receive and find. And then he assures us in verse 8, everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. He has basically said the same thing six times. Ask, it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Six times. He urged us, he promised us, and then he assured us. What are we asking for? Well, let's begin with righteousness. The fourth beatitude says, good news from God for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That was Matthew 5. In Matthew 6, in the middle of the sermon, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and your Father will take care of those things. So, seek and you will find. Seek first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Narrow the gate and steep the path that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Seek and you will find. So here's where I'm going. Here's where I'm going, people. What if a life that pleased and honored God was available for the asking? What if a life that delighted God and brought honor to him was ours for the asking? That's where Jesus is taking us. Let's assume we don't even know what this righteous life would look like. Whatever a righteous life looks like, would we receive it if we asked? What if we would find that we were looking for? What if that gate would be opened if we knocked on it? Jesus thinks God is incredibly generous with these things. To Jesus, if we ask the Father for the things he is inviting, that Jesus is inviting on the Sermon on the Mount, if we ask the Father for that, he will give them. There's no doubt in the Lord's mind whatsoever. You pray that God will equip you with everything good for doing his will, and he will work in you what pleases him. You pray that regularly, and then you assume he is answering you and he's doing just what you want. Because Jesus said, if you pray like that, he is certainly answering you. Let's not be thinking we'll be heard for our many words. Your Father's not counting your words or your minutes of prayer. He's looking to see if you're hungry. Are you hungry for that? And if you're not hungry for this, but you'd like to be, well, ask for that. And let's not be telling God how he needs to fix me first. Most of the time, for us to show God's righteousness, he does not need to fix me first. Let's not be telling God he needs to help me get my life together first. Most of the times, he does not need to help us get our life together first. You let him decide that. You let him decide in what order he's going to do these things. What if he could work his perfect will in you without you feeling any better? Could you live with that? Quite often, that's how it goes. See, our Lord wants us to have real confidence about this. If you're asking for this, you're receiving this, says the Lord. If you're seeking this, you're finding it. If you're knocking at this gate, it's open, and you're walking through. This works for everyone all the time. Let's not assume at this stage we know what a righteous life would look like. Some things we know, but some we don't. Let God shape our righteous lives, his plan, not mine. The thing is, again, there is no one, says Jesus, who is asking for this but not receiving. There's no one seeking but not finding. No one. Jesus was adamant about that here. So in verses 7 and 8, Jesus urged us to ask, and then he promised us God's response, and then he assured us that God would certainly respond every time. And in verses 9 to 11, Jesus will reassure us again with an illustration from parents and children. So we have to remember here that Jesus already taught us what to ask for in chapter 6. He taught us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored, not mine. May your kingdom come, not mine. May your will be done, not mine. So what Jesus wants, above all, is that we would have more confidence that our Father is actively doing this through us. Because of who God is, if we are asking for this, he is certainly doing it. Evil people give good gifts, verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What seems to trouble Jesus more than anything else is that anyone would turn away from kingdom righteousness with hopelessness. That anyone would say, I would like to seek righteousness in God's way. I would like to receive the kingdom, but it's hopeless. I could never do that. I'm too much a mess. I'm too bad. Whatever. For Jesus, that must never happen. And if humans, who are all evil, give good food to their children when their children ask, how much more would your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So ask for kingdom righteousness. Your Father will never turn that request down. Luke has the same teaching of Jesus in his gospel, and he ends with God giving the Holy Spirit. I will read this again from Luke 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, he'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? I think that God very often answers our prayers by using the Spirit to give us help and strength and endurance. And you might say, it sure doesn't feel like the Holy Spirit is doing anything when I pray. Well, so be it. You don't feel anything. But that doesn't mean God is not working. Jesus thinks that when we ask, God never does nothing, and God never says no. God is always generous with his children. He always acts. We're not asking for endurance and patience, but he's sending his Spirit to give us endurance and patience. We're not asking that our faith will not fail, but he is generously and instantly sending his Spirit so that our faith does not fail. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And I want to say, Paul, your logic is good, but look at me. God is graciously and freely giving all things? Look at what a sorry mess I am. If God was graciously giving me all things, would my life look like this? Folks, that's the right question. If God was graciously giving you all the things you needed so that your life would look the way he wanted it to look and bring him glory, how would your life look? Do you think you know? What if your life would look pretty much how it looks right now? Let's put more confidence in God's generosity. If we are asking God to shape us and use us, let's assume he's doing that. God asks us, What are you really after? What do you really want? Where do you most want to succeed? Remember the prayer of Jesus, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It was very hard for Jesus to pray that, but he did, and God gave him what he asked for. Ask and you will receive. The golden rule is in Matthew 7:12. That's the next line here. So in everything, Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. The human instinct is this: do to others what they do to you. We don't have to be taught that. It comes out of us. But for Jesus, and in the kingdom of God, the starting point is not what people did, it's our compassion for people. If I were in their shoes, what would I like? And Jesus says, do that. This is an important line for several reasons. The first one is obvious. This sums up the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. You want to obey the Old Testament? Here it is, according to Jesus, in one line. Secondly, this sums up Jesus. Near the beginning of the sermon, he said, I did not come to destroy the law and prophets, I came to fulfill them. If you want to obey the Sermon on the Mount in a one-line summary, do to others what you would have them do to you. This is the last ethical teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. After this, we have only warnings, so these words, by their position in the sermon, can hardly not be a summary. To be a beatitude person in one line, think about how you'd like to be treated, and do that to others, in everything. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, how will that look? Above all, like this. This is probably not what you thought righteousness would be. But in fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, this is what righteousness is. So the rest of the sermon gives us guidance in this. It tells us how it will show itself in different situations. But as much as the Lord can say it all in one line, this is the line. So when we ask for the kingdom, when we seek for it, When we knock on that door, what will God give us? He will help us live like this. He will lead us to live like this. In the line right after this, Jesus will say, "Enter by the narrow gate." So the golden rule is at the heart of the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. The golden rule is at the heart of the narrow gate. And now, I'm feeling poor in spirit. There are ways in which I do this. I do to others what I would like them to do to me. But there are a lot of ways I don't. There are many ways in which I just protect myself. But let's remember that just before Jesus said this, he gave us 5 verses on our Father answering prayers and giving good gifts to his children. Listen, turning us into people like this is a big job. Don't we know it? But our God is a big God. And Jesus knows that. And we are selfish. But so were the people listening to Jesus. We're not worse than they were. If Jesus was confident that our Father could get this done in those people, and Jesus had huge confidence in that, then Jesus knows our Father can do this for us as well. Sometimes I'm not sure I even want to be like this. It is not a safe way to live. But I do love the Lord, and so do you. And when I do not really want to love like this, then I ask the Father that for that. Father, make me hungry to be this kind of person. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. On the other hand, the good news is there is much of this already in our church. There is hunger and thirst for God's righteousness among us. And we do pray, "Not my will but yours be done." And we mean it. And there is an active desire among us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You have endurance and you keep seeking God. This kind of stuff is happening here. And Jesus wants to leave us, what Jesus wants to leave us with is confidence that God is right now bringing glory to himself through us. He is active in us, producing what he wants to produce. We thought it would be more impressive when that happened, but we often don't know what impresses God. Jesus says, if we're asking for this and we're seeking it, we can be sure he's doing it. That's what the Lord says. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we've been reading about how confident Jesus was, that if we asked for these kinds of things, you would do them. And this is our Lord's hope for us, the poor in spirit. And it's our only hope, too. But Father, we take him at his word. Thank you for what your power and your Holy Spirit can do in us. Father, help us treat others as we want to be treated. We're asking. We're not good at this, but we're asking. Jesus said you would do this for us. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip us with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.